Hey y'all, what's up? I'm Simone Rose, and you're listening to the Notebooks and Coffee podcast, where we talk about real life and your mental health. As you know, I'm not a licensed therapist. However, each week I get on here and I share my stories with you all in hopes that I can encourage at least one of you to share yours. That being said, grab your cups and let's talk about it. So today I wanted to talk to you about understanding your triggers and not allowing your triggers to get the best of you. This may be a short episode. I am getting over, I'm not going to say a cold because I don't necessarily know what it was, but over this past weekend, I got the second COVID vaccine, and it did not agree with my body at all, and I don't really know what's going on, so I'm exhausted. But this past weekend, kind of being sick helped me to realize something, or I had like an aha moment. So I wanted to talk about it today. But the definition of a trigger is to cause an event or situation to happen or exist. So when it comes to mental health and triggers, we are generally talking about something that has an effect on your emotional state. And knowing your triggers can help you navigate through certain situations. So for me, a trigger of mine is abuse. Whether it is mental, verbal, or physical, it is a trigger for me because I've survived two abusive relationships. So I know what it looks like. I know how it feels while it's happening. I know how it feels afterwards. And I've learned how to maneuver in these types of situations. The first relationship, I was in high school, so some people say it doesn't really count, but like I was fighting every day in that relationship, and like there was literally nothing positive that came out of it. Like, we fought physically every day. We cursed each other out every day. It was just toxic, very toxic. And then in my adult life, in my 20s, I talked about it in, I believe, episode 6, maybe, where I talked about the ex that I was with, who verbally and mentally abused me, and he also put his hands on me. So because I know what it looks like, because I know what it feels like to be in that situation, I'm more alert and more aware of things that can take me back down that road and that sense of worthlessness, if that makes sense. So I literally thought about this weekend, because this weekend was a self-care weekend for me. I decided I was going to escape for a little bit, take some time to myself, and I had plans. I had big plans this weekend. I thought that this second shot was going to be just as easy as the first one, and it was not. So my plans were messed up. I say all of that to say, so I got the shot on Saturday morning, and I headed out after the shot to take care of me. It was my me weekend. It was self-care. I had spa appointments booked and everything. And a couple hours after I got the shot, my body decided that it was going to pretty much go to shit. And I ended up sleeping the majority of Saturday and all day Sunday. I didn't even go to work on Monday because my body was just not having it. So Saturday I slept all day. And Sunday I had really bad chills. Like, I had cut the heat on like 79 or 80 in my house. I was wrapped up in two blankets and I still had the chills and I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. It was just terrible. But on Saturday, as my body started to change, I wasn't taking any phone calls from anybody. My phone wasn't on Do Not Disturb. However, the text messages and calls that I received, I didn't answer because I was just not feeling well. And I wasn't in a place where I wanted to talk to anybody. So, needless to say, this guy that I had dealt with over the past year, I think I mentioned him to you guys before on the podcast, but this guy that I had met when I initially met him, it was like, oh, you're my wife. I can see my future with you. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. When I come home, blah, blah, blah. Cool. Came home and long story short, things just didn't work out. I've found out that everything he was telling me, he was pretty much telling three or four other women, which was initially heartbreaking, but once I got past the initial heartbreak, it was more so like you saw the signs and you ignored them and you've been in a similar situation before. So, and that's what I mean by understanding your triggers and knowing how to navigate. So, it was very much up and down. One minute we were on, the next minute we were off. The next minute we were on again, and the next minute we were off again. And when I say one minute and the next minute, I literally mean like at 7:52 we were on. By 7:53 we were off again because he didn't know what it was he wanted to do. So the relationship became emotionally draining on my end because I saw good in him. I saw that, you know, he had been through some things in his past, and being an empath and being a fixer, I wanted to be the light that he not had before. And I thought it was possible. There were some moments where I thought that we were really making progress and that we were going to be okay. And in other moments, I felt like, sorry, my voice is going out now. But there were other moments I felt like this shit is not for me. And more often than not, I felt like this shit is not for me. But because I was so stuck on the good things that he had fed me, I held on to it. So there came a point, I would say 6 months in, because I feel like, okay, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June. Okay, so I lied. 10 months in, we were having a conversation and I was at work and I remember being on FaceTime and he had asked, was I dealing with anybody else? And I told him no, because honestly, I wasn't. We had made the decision that it was going to be just us. And he made that decision and I went along with it because this was what I wanted. Like, I felt like I had finally found my person initially after going through everything that I've been through before. He had listened to my podcast and that drew him to me, or drew me to him. However you say it, that's what made him want to talk to me, was the podcast and how open I was and how vulnerable I was. And I allowed it to happen. So 10 months in, we're having this conversation and he kept saying, you know, or kept mentioning us being just friends. And I said, okay, we had talked about starting a business together and he was like, you know, could we be business partners and still be friends if nothing else comes of it? Me, I'm about my money, so I can separate business from pleasure with ease. So I was like, sure, no problem. But he kept saying it, and it stayed in the back of my head, and that should have been my cue to exit stage left. I should have exited stage left with all of the up and down initially. Because like I said, we were really good at one point, and then things just changed. And I think things changed for him when he came home from working overseas and realizing that he was the quote unquote it guy. Like, he was the guy that most girls dreamed of. He was tall, he was handsome, he had a good job, he had his own place. Like, he was a great father. He was kind, he was caring, he was funny, he couldn't dance worth a damn, which was hilarious to me. But like, we just fit. And I think by him coming home and then realizing that, you know, he's it, like he's the it guy, he was just like, okay, well, I'm gonna put myself out there, but I still want her to be here. So that happened. In June, we decided that, well, he finally told me in June that he had been entertaining someone else, a couple others, should I say, and that he wanted to be just friends. And I said, okay. I left it at that. I didn't argue. I didn't fight. I just said, okay, like, this is, I'm fine with it. By then, we had already started the business together. Well, he and his brother started the business, and they brought me on to do interior design, which is fun for me because I like to shop and I like to decorate things. So I enjoyed that part. And being about business was easy for me. Like, it was easy for me to separate business from personal, because once you put a dollar sign in front of me, my whole mentality changes. It is no longer about you and how I feel. It's about me making money, and this money is going to get me to wherever I need to be. So July rolls around. I'm not going to say purposely, but I did not talk to him with a purpose unless it was about business. Like, I made it a point to strictly be about business, because at that moment I realized that he wasn't ready for what I was ready for, although he sought me out and made it seem like he was. We were just on two different pages, personally, but business wise we were cool. So I thought. August came around and he came back home, and I remember checking on him prior to the day before he got back, because I went to dinner with my family, and my family was asking about him, because he was in a third world country. I think that's how you say it. I think. He was overseas, and where he was pretty much under attack. So I sent him a text like, hey, I'm just making sure you're okay. My mom and my sister asked about you, and I don't watch the news. I don't really know what's going on over there, but this is what they're telling me. So I get a response back a few hours later, and the response was, you had a whole husband overseas, and you don't watch the news. So I'm thinking, who the hell is my whole husband? Because you done told me that you didn't want me. So I'm like, okay, so we must be on again or about to be on again. And I'm slowly going back into it with like a glimmer of hope. And that hope fell through. There was a lot of things that took place from me being with him for a business meeting and having someone call and was like, I'm on my way to your house. And I was just like, yeah, I'm going to go. Because I don't handle disrespect well. And It's just not my thing. So when I see things about to go left, I dismiss myself because I'm not the same person that I was in high school. So I kind of shut down after that. And a couple weeks went by and we had talked. But again, I made it specific to business. Because that same night, he made it a point to say, you've been through enough. I don't want to put you through anything else. I'm just not ready. Cool. You are not ready. I respect it. I respected it thus far, and we can keep it moving. All we got to do is do business. That is it. That is all. Fast forward a couple weeks. We have a conversation, and I was asked about, you know, when the last time I went on a date. I gave the date that I went out on a date, and this man literally, I'm not going to say loses his mind, but he caught an attitude. Caught an attitude with me, and he had already, the night before we had this conversation, he had gone out on a date. And he said to me, you going out on dates already? This is too soon. What? You just went out on, like, literally, went out on a whole date the night before we had this conversation. So why is this even a conversation when you've made it abundantly clear that I am not what you want? And it's okay for us to date other people. It didn't make sense to me. But we had the conversation, and then he made it abundantly clear, like, don't hold on to hope for you and I. If it's meant for us to be together, we will be together. Cool. I held no hope at all. I took it for what it was, and I kept it moving. And then my mom's birthday was a couple weeks ago. I hadn't talked to him. Outside of anything pertaining to business, when we spoke, I literally was informing him of things regarding the business. That was it. And he invited me out, and I was hesitant on going at first. And it was, you know, he was having a fight party. I was hesitant on going because I didn't necessarily trust it, but I asked one of my girlfriends about it, and she was like, just go. It might be, you know, him finally seeing what you've been talking about. Absolutely not. That is not what happened. I got a message pretty much asking me, how am I going to be able to handle being in a room with someone that wants to be with him? Mind you, I've already been around this guy, so I know what it's like to... I know what he's like when he's into you. And for me, the level of disrespect was something that I had seen before. But I hadn't really, I'm not going to say I hadn't acknowledged it, because I was seeing the signs, and seeing the signs, I chose to move forward. And in turn, I ended up triggered. And y'all are probably like, okay, so what does this story have to do with acknowledging your triggers? Story has to do with my triggers because after that, I was just like, yeah, no. There's absolutely no way that this person respects me and knows my triggers and still carried on in that manner, if that makes sense. To me, and it was a wake-up call because I felt myself going back down a road that I just did not want to go back down. And I answered the call Well, answered the message like, yeah, that's just not my thing. I can handle myself. However, that's not something that I'm going to do. So y'all have fun. And after that, he sent question marks and I didn't respond. But the following day I got these weird messages and I was just like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, you are that narcissistic to where you want to, in essence, make me feel a way because I chose to move differently. And I say narcissistic because, like, he definitely was. We were talking, and in that conversation that I mentioned that happened a couple weeks ago, he literally said to me, like, may the best woman win. Sir, I'm not finna compete with you. I was in multiple relationships where I have been cheated on and degraded and felt like I was nothing. So why would I be a part of this competition? I'm just not doing it. I lost track of my thought. Circle back to Saturday. Saturday, I was out. When I say out, like, I was literally laid out on the couch. Like, I was tired. I wasn't answering any calls, any text messages, nothing. I think I made one post on social media, like, earlier that morning, and the rest of the day I was out. But anyway, this guy texted a couple times and called, and I didn't answer because I was out of it. When I finally did get up, I went to grab something to eat and I called back and I didn't, like, it went straight to voicemail. And oddly enough, the moment I hung up, he was calling me back from this weird number I ain't never seen before, but I answered it. And instead of saying hello, the first thing he said was, is something wrong with your phone or my phone? I've been calling and texting you all day. Okay. I was not feeling good. So what's up? I'm not in town right now. What's going on? And he was talking to me about the business. And then I said, well, I'll be back on Monday. And he was like, well, I'll call you on Monday. Bye. Hung up. And I said, okay. By then I got my food and I was on my way back in the house to get back on the couch and lay down. I got a message that said, are you ignoring me? And I literally said, no, I am not. The next message pretty much said, it's not even that serious. When I get back in town, I'll come pick up the keys and the business card from you and we can go our separate ways. I don't play those type of games. I thought we was friends and friends don't move like that. And in my mind, I'm like, what game are you talking about? You asked me a question and I answered it. And I answered it before you responded with all of this. So I just politely responded back. I said, you know what? That's fine. You know, I have a life outside of the business and I'm okay. If this is what you feel, whatever it is you're going through, that is on you, that is not on me. And I'm perfectly fine with it. You let me know what you decide to do and we could keep it moving. Like, I have no problem with you picking up the keys or the business credit card. I'm perfectly fine with that. You just let me know when that's going to happen. And I kind of just left it at that. But the trigger for me was just the back and forth, and the manipulation of it all. Because we started out one way and we ended another because of how you acted. And because I'm no longer allowing you to, in essence, manipulate the situation and control the situation. And I'm now taking responsibility for what I allowed, and I'm moving differently. You are now playing victim, and it is hilarious to me. But it took me, like, literally sick and all, sitting at home or sitting on the couch, honestly, just thinking about everything, like how I ended up in the situation that I was in, not getting a shot, but like how I ended up here. And the triggered me probably would have flipped out and been emotional and crying, cussing, fussing, and acting a fool. But because I knew how to maneuver around my triggers, and I saw the situation for what it was, and I accepted it for what it was. I didn't let it impact me, which I'm actually proud of myself, because I never knew that I could maneuver in such a way. Like, I never knew that I would be able to avoid certain situations by recognizing that I'm about to be triggered. And because I was about to be triggered, I kind of caught myself and was like, nope, okay, that's fine. And I let it be what it was going to be. And it's weird to me, because this person knew my triggers and still decided to attempt to trigger me. I say all of that to say, I said I was not going to talk this long tonight, and I'm already like at almost 30 minutes. But I say all of that to say, when you understand your triggers, you know how to maneuver through certain situations. You don't let certain things bother you. And if they do bother you, you have methods to counter your triggers. It's not always easy, but there are instances where your mental health depends on it. For me, I know knowing my triggers and understanding my triggers have aided in me being okay mentally. Had I not acknowledged my triggers and not known how to move around that situation, I probably would have been depressed and sad and stressed out, on top of already being sick from this damn shot and losing my mind. But people who know your triggers and choose to trigger you, please remove them from your lives by any means necessary. So when I say by any means necessary, like, don't be extreme with it, but just get those folks out of your life. Because if you are around somebody that knows your triggers and they choose to trigger you, they are not a friend. They are not a friend. They are not an associate. Those people are enemies. And what is the saying? Keep your friends closer, your enemies closer. Fuck that. Don't be my enemy and be close to me. I ain't got time. I really don't. I feel like I ramble a lot, but I needed to get that off my chest. Because I was really like about to lose my shit. But because I knew what I had been through previously, and I knew how I responded to things previously, I was able to catch myself and flip it, in a sense. The situation, and knowing your triggers does not mean that things don't affect you. Knowing your triggers just mean you know how to handle certain situations and better deal with it versus letting the trigger overtake you. All right, that's it, y'all. I'll catch y'all next week.